Now, when we baptize people in water, what we are doing is we are, when we take them down into that water and raise them up, we are giving an outward picture of what happened to you inside, in the spirit, the moment you got saved. And I want to look for just a moment at what Scripture says about it. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. Now I might need this water. Paul says this. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Did you not know that? Did you know that? You were baptized into his death. You were united with him as you... That is a picture of what happened in the Spirit. When you received Christ as your Savior, you were reunited with Him in such a way. As many as us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him into baptism. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then it goes down to verse 8. And he says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Amen? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And the key verse here is verse 11, where he says, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're not dead. You were dead in your sin. Now you are dead to your sin. You are now alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. You now have a life living inside of you that has changed you and changed you for good forever. You are a new creature in Christ. You're not the same person you were. You are not the same person that you used to be. Glory to God. So you are not just a sinner saved by grace with a life that is characterized by sin, enslaved by sin, in bondage to sin, defeated by sin, wrapped up and enchained by sin. If you are truly born again, you were a sinner. But since you have been saved by grace, now you are dead. Everybody say dead. Dead to sin and alive to who? Amen. You were a sinner. Now you are dead to sin, alive to God. And just like Jesus Christ, having been raised, dies no more, and death has no more dominion over him. Likewise, sin and death no longer have dominion over me. They no longer have dominion over you. You have been set free from the law of sin and death. You now have his resurrection spirit inside of you, living in you, energizing you, coursing through your spirit, giving you life. If you will crank the faucet and let that river pour out. His resurrection spirit now lives in me, and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the power of sin and death. God's word declares it. It's a fact. It is true. It is more true than the very thing your senses tell you about the world around you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Settle it in your heart. You are a new man. You are a new woman. You are a new creature in Christ if you have truly been born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. You guys like new stuff? I love new stuff, man. I love a new car, man. Ain't got no scratches on it, man. Ain't got no mud up in the grill. Ain't no, like, dead birds hanging out of the grill. Ain't got no dog pee on the tire or anything like that. You get inside, it doesn't smell like three-day-old sour milk or French fries that have gone cold. It smells like leather or whatever you got in that thing. You like guys like new stuff? Praise God. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I love it when you get something new and you open up the package. You can still smell the factory in that thing, man. It just it goes up and fills the air. Well, the fragrance of new life in Christ comes out of you, and wherever you go, if you are filled with that Spirit, man, people can smell it on you. Something new about that girl. For real, man. I mean, that's the truth. Scripture says so. His resurrection gives me a new identity. That is important because it is critical how you see yourself. If you see yourself as just a sinner saved by grace, you're going to act like a sinner because that's how you think you are. So you're going to justify and rationalize and give excuses for how you behave. But if you see yourself as a son recreated in the image of God, a member of a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, called by God and empowered and equipped by Him, you're going to walk differently. It's important. Now you might be asking yourself, okay, if that's true, and I believe it's true, I really believe it, John, but if it's true, why do I still struggle with certain sins? I know I'm speaking to someone today. If that's true, why is it such a battle? Why is it so hard? I've been there. I've asked that question. I'm not just... If I am new, if I am dead to sin and alive to God, why is it that that thing trips me up so bad? I want to go down a little rabbit trail today because I think that's important to answer this question, man. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. But, man, and I can at 9 o'clock, I can be feeling that and walking that and living it. And something happens at 9:35 that, man, I get run over by a steamroller. And then I come out on the other side and say, what just happened to me? Every time I sit out in front of the bank, man, I don't know. I try to fight it. But every time I sit out in front of the bank, man, there's this overwhelming urge, this uncontrollable, irresistible force that drives me and makes me want to just pick up that shotgun and ski mask and go inside and rob the bank. And I fight that thing, and I fight that thing, and I try to resist, and I'm out there, and the next thing I know, I just cave in. I just can't fight anymore. I get weak, and I try, and I feel so guilty, and I feel so dirty afterwards, but I fight, and next thing I know, there I am, robbing the bank again. And I don't know what to do anymore. I feel so defeated. You ever been there? Yeah, Aaron. Talking to you, girl. Well, let me give you some practical advice. Because, yes, you are a new creature in Christ, but sometimes we have to learn how to use what God has given us. We might have it. We might have to know how to access that thing to put it to full advantage. So I just want to go down a little rabbit trail here, if I may, and just give some practical wisdom and advice what to do about that. Okay, so let me just make a couple suggestions. Number one, leave the shotgun home. Am I lying? Leave the shotgun home. If that's a stumbling block for you, if you can't rob a bank without a shotgun, leave it home. Next time you're sitting there, it won't be such a temptation. Thank you, brother. In other words, eliminate the direct temptation. It might not be a shotgun for you. Maybe it's alcohol. Yeah, I'm getting there. deep fried Twinkies and chocolate. Yeah. We'll put alcohol on hold for a minute. You know, if that's a stumbling block for you, last Wednesday to stand in front of a table with 25 pounds of deep fried Oreo cookies, cream puffs, shrimp rolls, what's that? Deep fried Snickers. Then when they clean up afterwards and offer for someone to take it home, don't step forward. You know, put your hand down. Told me I better start getting serious about those issues. If alcohol is the problem, don't load your refrigerator with 12 packs of beer and then sit at the kitchen table and think, I gotta resist. Somehow I can't go in that refrigerator and open up and drink those cold, refreshing Miller. Get it out of the house. Make it hard to get to. I know you can't just burn down every liquor store in the place, but if you have to actually get up, get dressed, get in the car, find some loose change to get that stuff, it's going to be harder. Leave the shotgun at home. And I mean, you know, with food, you know, maybe your kids will eat it, and they're just not into farm-raised organic tofu bars. You know, you try, but they just don't go for it. Okay, get a little bit of candy, enough to feed them for that moment, and then, you know, and then wait until it's time again to get that, you know, so it's not in the house screaming your name from across the room. Pornography. If pornography on the internet is a problem, I know that one or two people in the country have professed to have actually had that problem. I'm, you know, get it. Yeah. Aside from the multi-billion-dollar industry that it is. Get an internet filter so that that stuff doesn't come up, so that you can't access that. If you have to hack into your own computer or hire, you know, Cousin Bob to come down and spend 3 hours going around the safeguards, it's going to be a little bit of a help to keep you from just caving in.